हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय ओके सो Reading from Bhaktisandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarna 2, worship of the demigods is condemned. So then Jiva Goswami continues, smoke is superior to dull wood, and fire, sacred to the Vedas, is superior to smoke. Similarly, Rajas is superior to Tamas, and Sattva is superior to Rajas, since Sattva is favorable for realizing the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.24. Right, so notice here it's favorable, but that means you also have to use it properly. Just because the situation is good, it doesn't mean that automatically everything is happening. Just like I have a great kitchen, doesn't mean automatically there's great food. No, I have to go into the kitchen, put in the proper endeavor, with you know, then I'll get the proper result. Right? And that's just the mechanical. Now, if I have the proper consciousness, then I get the proper offering for Krishna, right? So favorable here doesn't mean it does the work. This is a foolishness that Niti Shastra mentions, that one is a fool if one thinks that by having a good situation, then everything's done. No, it's understood as those who are willing to put in the effort. When they see a good situation, then they're satisfied because now they know if they put in their best effort, they should get there's every possibility they get a better result. So that's not foolish. But for those who think, because I have the situation, therefore, that's a fool. Right? So then we see that is that in the modern, the modern advertisement and everything like that, And just the propaganda that's there in the media and everything, and how people think, is that if I have money, I will be happy. No, happiness is generated from the result of your work. It's not from the situation. So that means as you perform work, then happiness can be there. This foolish idea is that, no, I get the money, then I'll be happy just by having the money. But no one's happy by just having the money. Similar thing is that, oh, if I have put money away, I retire, I just sit back, I do nothing, I'll be happy. How you'll be happy? Unless you sit back and do nothing and are just absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then you can be happy. But on the material platform, the happiness and distress are results of your work, not of the situation. Right? It means the situation may be the result of the work, but it's an ongoing just because it's come now. Unless you're satisfied, you can't continue with a particular situation and say, yes, this is good. When satisfaction doesn't come by this point of the motive path where I work, I get results, and then I'm happy. Right? Motive goodness, the idea is I'm satisfied. Right? They're not trying for happiness. They're trying for satisfaction. That's mode of goodness. So it's quite a different approach. Yes, Jagadishji.
It's interesting phenomena that because in the material world, we are not satisfied with the situation and we're not satisfied. I mean, most people aren't. Not satisfied with the endeavor. So what happens is that the prayojana becomes a situation, and then devotees means to make the situation better. And that's why everybody doing their work, basically. So with the devotees, the same phenomena happens, is that we still think situational. We're not thinking in terms of service. Is that what gives us higher satisfaction?
But then
we do service, and I've heard it from many devotees, unfortunately. For example, you know, they want to work hard and then change their situation. So then in service, they're not as satisfied, although, you know, it's kind of nice, but it's still, the situation is in the prayojana figure. And then when they achieve that situation, then they basically want to enjoy it.
Yes. So that's the because of conditioning, we just go on with the exact same thing that we've always been doing. What we've done is we've added Krishna into it. We understand that Krishna is involved, and that there should be, the result should be given for Krishna and all these different things. So in this way, we get purified. But by good association, by hearing the shastras, by chanting, worshiping the deity, living in the dham, by these direct activities, then it starts as the heart gets purified. And as we have that firm faith, right, that it's only through devotional service and only through the association of devotees in that devotional service that you can actually get any actual benefit. Then Krishna reveals himself, you know, step by step. And then we're able to appreciate that this is the really real thing. You know, despite, you know, advertisement by certain beverage companies in America, it's no, devotional service is the really real thing, right? So that's the position. So devotees have to be intelligent. That's why we have to look at what the acharyas and what the scriptures do rather than what the karmis do. Because the karmis are fools. You can say, oh, they're more professional, they're more successful. The question is, are they? You think they are, but are they? Oh, no, he's a doctor, you know, he's situated in society, he's respected, he's a lawyer, he's respected. Yeah, and that doctor, how much does he actually care about his patients? Is it just or is it about the money? Because he's spent hundreds of thousands, if not millions, becoming the doctor. He has to charge ridiculous amounts to get all that money back. And he wants to, you know, that it's about money. If he doesn't get money, how many doctors are actually going out and doing free service? You know, there are some. They get some time, they go off to some place, to a camp, or go to Africa or someplace and do something and do it all for free. But generally people in that, you know, then they'll go back to the making money. So they'll be better. But, you know, a few of them, they join, what's that called? Oh, I can't remember what it's called. It's a group where they go out and all they do is welfare. What was that?
UNICEF?
No, UNICEF, but it's specific. Yeah, so they go out and somehow and other people donate and they take care of their basic needs and all that, but they're not doing it for money. So you have a few people like that, you know, or these different, like you said, UNICEF or some other people, they do some stuff. But like that, and lawyers, you know, who knows a nice, you know, means law means if you get into it, it's very necessary. And we see the Vedas have a very, you know, they're very important part of the court and everything like that. But in general society, you know, especially, you know, some of these big lawyers, it's famous. The cliche is that all they do is take money, you know, that's all. And so we see is that, but that's just them. They're the ones that get the opportunity. You can say, oh, the others are nicer people. They're only nicer generally because they don't have that opportunity. As soon as they get the opportunity, they may be just as bad. So of course, there's going to be individuals that are not, but the point is that they're so. The question is why do we look to the karmis that they're so successful and wonderful? And so are they? Is the American government doing so great on the international, you know, political platform? Is it doing even great locally within America? Do people like the government? Is it going well? Do people within the government even like how it's working? And if you check, no. And then we're going to use that as our standard? These professionals as our standard? No. Prabhupada said we're professional spiritualists. Profession is what you do for your occupation. So everybody has a profession. It's just that those with bigger false ego have identified certain higher levels as professionals and others are not professionals. But a plumber is a professional. You know, the guy who changes your roof or a chimney sweep, they're professionals because that's what they do. They know that. You don't know that. If we took that rich person, that powerful person, that, you know, together person and put him behind one of the cash registers at Tesco, would he know what to do? No. But you have the people who are there, they're professionals. So professional just means you're good at your job. That's all. You know it and you're good at it. So our Prabhupada said we're professional spiritualists. So spiritualism, that's our profession. And to get into anything else is, as Prahlad Maharaj puts it nicely, a total waste of time. That's all it is. It's not something glorious. No one is, do you ever see, everyone is, people, the karmis are glorifying us for being so professional. Do we ever hear of that? No, people say, as you know, they're nice, they're committed to that, they have a tradition, they things that, that's what they'll talk about. You know? What would you say if someone was saying, yes, the Catholic priests, they're all so professional? You know, what would you say? You'd say, oh, they're into, you know, business and money and this and that, because that's what professional brings up. No, they're religious. They're, you know, serious. They're sincere. They're dedicated. They're, you know, they're detached. These are the things that people, that's what they go to religion for. They don't go because you're a professional. But we are professionals. But in spiritualism. And so therefore we're recognized for those things. So that's why it's saying here, Namuda, goodness is superior to Rajas because it is favorable. It's not that it creates realization of the Lord. No, the Lord reveals himself. But if you're in the mode of goodness, it's a position where you're humble, you have faith, you follow Shastra, you follow authorities, you're regulated in your lifestyle, you're trying to regulate the senses, you know, directing everything for a higher purpose and all that. And because of that, and who's given that? Krishna, because you're doing it, Krishna is pleased, he reveals himself. But it's not that the mode of goodness itself produces realization. That was also a faulty, bogus philosophy that came up in the, I think it was in the 90s or something. Someone wrote a book about if you don't get to the mode of goodness, you can't become Krishna conscious. But Krishna conscious is independent of that. It's favorable. So therefore, if you want to be Krishna conscious and the mode of goodness is favorable, why wouldn't you use that? Why would you use passion and ignorance? So it's favorable, but it doesn't mean it produces. So it's very important to appreciate that. So yes, it's a favorable situation. And so we're always going to situate ourselves as best as we can, you know, Jagadish Prabhu was pointing out, but it's the best that we can because it's favorable to Krishna consciousness, right? Not that we're trying to do it because it's a better situation. I will enjoy more. No, that's not the reason. You know, it's that it's more favorable for being Krishna conscious. And only by being Krishna conscious can the jiva actually be happy. Yes.
So can we say is that service produces situation, then service producing the experience within situation, and then service produces more service?
Yes.
Would it be correct?
Yes. Yes. That's why it says bhakti is the process, bhakti is the goal. it always remains as a process. It always remains as a goal, because bhakti means devotion to Krishna. So therefore, on the platform of prema, then it's non-different, because you perform actions that produce situations and in which you can perform actions that please Krishna. You perform the action to please Krishna. It performs situations in which you can perform further actions to please Krishna. Like the gopis perform the action of going to Vamsiva. By being at Vamsiva, and why? Because they want to please Krishna at Vamsiva. By being at Vamsiva, now they can perform activities that are pleasing to Krishna. So the situation is important in that it supports. But it's the action that actually produces results. But it's the consciousness that's being used during that action that produces Krishna's satisfaction. Because whatever you do, the situation, the action that you can perform, the results that you can get, that's all Krishna. So it's not that that's what's going to, it's because you do it to please Krishna in devotion. That's what pleases Krishna. Because he already is the situation, he already is the action, he already is the results. Krishna mentions that in Gita, in context of the yajna. He's all the different things that are already there. Even he's the priest, he's the yajaman, he said, because the yajaman wants to do, the priest he can do. You know, he's the offerings, he's the, you know, everything, the mantras, everything. He's already that. But when all of that is used to please him, so that's the thing, is that the mode of goodness are those actions that is the situations in which Krishna is worshipped. That's what you're dealing with. So anything else is what's the point of it? But it's the same situations, you just use it for Krishna, it becomes useful. So the point is when we see it that it's all Krishna's, we just have to use it for him. Then it starts to make work. No, but this is the karmic thing, this is our thing. No, it's that it's all Krishna's. Devotees choose those situations, you know, the mode of goodness and that are favorable to pleasing Krishna. The karmis look at it what's pleasing to them. And so depending upon their modes, it might be a more, sattvic environment, or it may not be. Or it's a mix, like you see, let's say, tribals. They're living in a very, you know, simple, pleasant environment, but at the same time, it's only being done for themselves. So it's a mix, but they're better situated on one sense, you know, in that context. Yes, does that work? Yeah. Okay. Anything else, or no? Okay. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. As explained above, one could get release from the conditioned life of material existence by devotional service to the personality of Godhead. It is further comprehended herein that one has to rise to the platform mode of goodness, sattva, so that one can be eligible for the devotional service of the Lord. But if there are impediments on the progressive path, anyone, even from the platform of tamas, can rise to the sattva platform by the expert direction of the spiritual master. Sincere candidates must therefore approach an expert spiritual master for such a progressive march. And the bona fide expert spiritual master is competent to direct a disciple from any stage of life. Tamas, rajas, or sattva. That means devotional service is independent. We're trying to elevate ourselves to the mode of goodness because it's favorable. Because if you're trying to do something for Krishna, you want the best situation for Krishna, and you want the best results for Krishna. Results come from the best actions. The best actions are performed in the best situations. But ultimately, it's the consciousness. So that's why it's independent. So yes, we're trying to situate ourselves in goodness, but it's not the goodness that produces bhakti. Bhakti is independent. And so here then it mentions that the expert spiritual master can explain how to do this. So Prabhupada was always trying to keep us on devotional service, focused on that, the individual being engaged in devotional service, engaging other individuals in devotional service. That's what we're trying to do, right? So that then is given, but taking these contemporary models in which it becomes impersonal, and then we hide behind, you know, office doors and desks and papers and all that. Prabhupada didn't recommend that because it doesn't have the personal thing, it doesn't have the point, and it's not situated in the mode of goodness. Right? And so therefore, because people are always talking about prestige and this and that, and who's the authority, and you know, who has the last say, and who's in control, and all these different things. These are not the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness is, this is my duties. I perform my duties, whatever they may be. So therefore, even if one has the nature, let's say, of a Shudra, but he sees that these are my duties, I do this for Krishna, because Krishna has given these duties, then he's situated in the mode of goodness. Right? That's the thing. And then he nicely can then remember Krishna and everything like that. Because mode of goodness means you're not distracted by passion or ignorance. That's the advantage of it. And then pure devotional service is pure goodness. Right? It is a mistake, therefore, to consider that worship of any quality or any form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is equally beneficial. Except Vishnu, all separated forms are manifested under the conditions of material energy. And therefore, the forms of material energy cannot help anyone rise to the platform of sattva, which alone can liberate a person from material bondage. Right, so here, mistake therefore to consider that worship of any quality or any form of the Supreme Personality God is equally beneficial. So, all the expansions of the Lord, so therefore Brahma, Lord Shiva, the demigods, all that, they can't give you, even though they are representing the Lord and they are forms of the Lord. But worship of them can't give you the benefit that you can get from worshiping Vishnu. Because there, then you're worshiping Krishna in his natural, him as a person. Because these other aspects aren't going to give you that benefit. Because why are they considered? Why are we worshiping them? Because we want something from them. We worship the demigods, or we worship different things because we want a particular benefit. It's not about benefit for Krishna. If we're doing a puja to, you know, Shiva or this or that, why? Why wouldn't we be worshiping Balaram or Shankarsha? Why would we be worshiping Lord Shiva? He's a great devotee. Yeah, but so is Prabhupada. So is, you know, Rupa Goswami. You know, so why would we be doing that in the consideration? Now, it's one thing if you're worshiping the Lord and you're seeing the Lord Shiva as servant of the Lord, and therefore he's also part of the thing. Yes, that's fine. But if it's a matter of, oh, you know, this is happening to me and that's happening to me. I talked to the astrologer. He said, oh, you should worship Lord Shiva. And he's talking karma kanda. He's not talking devotional service. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, I heard recently from Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj, he said that system of Panchupasana, when we worship to these five devatas, ending by Lord Vishnu, that Srila Prabhupada said in a purport of 24 shloka in the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, name of the chapter, the purification of the heart. Srila Prabhupada said that this Panchupasana system was given for consequent liberation of the jivas. It's like a five koshas system. And he said that, for example, the first step is the worship into the Durga. It's related with the Anamaya kosha because it's material nature. Then he said that...
Yeah, that's why our supreme
But
leadership platform is the Uma, because then we can worship on that and we can be self-centered and all about our sentiments. And whatever people feel, that becomes the ultimate, you know, authority. Mm-hmm. So yes, so we're starting there. Hopefully, they'll move up and, you know, get to the, you know, the Surya, you know, Ganesh and Surya, and, you know, move up the food chain there.
Mm-hmm. And he said that worshipping of Tuganesha is equal to the Pranamoy Kosha, to the Surya is to the Gyanamoy Kosha, and to the Lord Shiva is the Vigyanamaya Kosha. But the question was about Lord Vishnu. Why Lord Vishnu is on the fifth position? Because in the purport of Srila Prabhupada, it was written that it was mentioned impersonal Paramatma, the part of the part and parcel of the Lord Vishnu. And my question is, if our acharyas explained Anandamaya Kosha as a stage when we can develop Bhava Bhakti according to Bhaktivinoda Thakura, why the Lord Vishnu is here, not Shri Krishna?
Oh, because you're dealing with I mean, because when you're talking about the Panchopasana, then you're dealing with technically what you'd call smarthas, that they follow the rules and regulations and everything. And so they, you know, they accept the Vedic, they follow all these different things. And so then depending upon their level of consciousness, then they're moving up. So there has to be an understanding that getting to Anandamaya and worshiping Vishnu is the highest platform. That has to come about. Just like when they're worshiping the demigods, even if they worship Durga, they still have to worship Shaligram first. And then they can offer the results of the, you know, from that to Durga. You can't worship Durga directly. You can't worship any of the devatas directly. You have to worship the Vishnu Shaligram first. Right? So happening inside or out? They see it in that fact that there's the impersonal, because Anandamaya can also mean that point of Atmarama where one's self-satisfied by being situated on the spiritual platform. It would be, it's the lowest level of Anandamaya. In other words, you're just concentrating on the Sandini aspect. They don't know all these details, but you're simply saying that everything is spiritual. So that's impersonalist. Mayavadis never get to Anandamaya. They talk about it. They say they're Narayan, all these different things, but they never get there. They never can, never will. Like that. Impersonalists can get to that Anandamaya platform, but they're only on that platform of I am Brahman, which is the situation, the Sat platform. Then higher than that, then they see is as the Chit platform, where Lord Vishnu is there in his localized form as Paramatma. So they're saying he's localized. So you could say is they'll see the impersonal side of that, not the personal, because the impersonal side means he's the controller of everything. So it's generic. He's the knower of everything. You know, does that make sense? It has that. You're still using these very broad secondary definitions of the Lord. You know, the transcendental and all that, and they are talking about the Lord, but they're seeing it from that generic, you know, like the impersonalist can also unlimited, no qualities, all pervading, all the, you know, these kind of things. So they're talking about the situation. There's that touch of knowledge. So they're just touching the platform of Chit, but not enough to actually understand that this is actually the Supreme Person, you know, eternally. So as you go into that and understand that he's controlling, that he's a person, why is it happening for us? Because of his own desire. That then takes you into the platform of Bhagavan, right? And then that Bhagavan may be, okay, he's Bhagavan, he's the person, and, you know, he is everything. He expands as everything. Everything's non-different from him. So that's going to be the Brahman level of understanding of Bhagavan. So that's like what we saw in the Bhagavat Sandarbha. So that's the, you could say, the place of Shantarasa. Right? Then when you see, yes, he's the greatest and he's controlling everything like that, that takes you to the Paramatma platform. You know, and so therefore the Vaikuntha worship and everything, because he's God. It's all within Bhagavan, but it's within the God aspect of Bhagavan. And then you see in Braj, then it's going to be the Bhagavan of Bhagavan aspect, where it's just he as a person is doing what he wants as a person. And so therefore, then it's just the love for him on that platform. So always you have that general thing is that you're going to have the, let's say, Sambandha Abhidaya and Prayojana, and that explained. But then as you get into more details, there'll be Sambandha Abhidaya and Prayojana within Sambandha. Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana within Abhideya. Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana within Prayojana. You know, as it goes down, it's like an astronomy. You know, you have the where the planets are. So you have your Mahadasa, right? And so then you have, okay, you're in this planet for this many years, you know, for whatever it is, like that. But within that time, all the planets go to have their time within that. It's divided into nine again. Then if you take one of those, you can divide it into nine again and again and again. So it's said that a good astrologer, you know, an astronomer, then he can kind of calculate however far you want. It's not a problem. But for the astrologers, the ones that read your chart and all that, if they can't go down five levels, then they're not actually very good. Because what they see at one level, like I remember one devotee was talking about, he was really worried because his wife was, it was very, within, you know, some days, his wife was going to give birth to his child. And, you know, and him being an astrologer, then, you know, there was no good times, everything's this, that, oh no, this is very bad, he's freaking out. Then when the child's born, and that, and he calculates the time, he keeps calculating down and down and down and down, and then he finally gets down far enough, then he finds out that that was, you know, a very auspicious time within all that inauspiciousness. You know, so that's the thing. So when someone just looks at your chart, oh, this, no, oh, you're not going to have it in this, oh, this is going to happen. Okay, go down one level into the Antardas. Then what happens? Oh, well, you know, it won't be only in this time. It'll be a little bad over here. It's okay and all this. And actually, this time will be okay. And then you go down further. And so you see sometimes where they're saying it's doomsday, they go down far enough, it turns around. It's some special yoga that's so auspicious. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, because Krishna is Satchit Ananda. Everything is seen in that way. But the point is that Satchit Ananda are one entity, one non-dual entity. So that means within Sat, you'll see Chit and Ananda. Within Chit, you'll see Sat and Ananda. Within Ananda, you'll see Sat and Chit. But there's a prominence. So therefore, that's why it appears that, oh, it's contradictory, it's this and that. It's just quit looking at it like this from the point of doubt and from the descending. It's, this is what it is, so how does that fit in to the philosophy? It always fits in. Devotees all know enough philosophy that they can fit everything in. But it's just the lack of understanding, the lack of faith, the lack of association. Then they get bewildered. Because as a descending, it's always very clear and open. So then, that's then where it goes in. And so when you start to see, oh, this appears to be contradictory, then you just have to look at it from a finer level. Because as you get into detail, it has to get finer and finer down. Right? There's Krishna, who is, you know, he is everything. He is Atmarama. But then you'll see within that, well, there's Krishna and his energy. And then within Krishna's energy, then Krishna has these features of Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, and his energies also then match that. You know, within the rasa, within the creation, within the, I mean, with the, how you say, within the icha, within the kriya, and within the jnana. Right? And then if you go into the icha, then you're going to see, then you have the Sambit Sandini Gladini. You know, it's all going to happen within there. So it's all going to happen within. As you go down, it has. So that's the, any detail can be connected to Krishna if you understand the process. If you don't, then you, how are you saying it's all right? Based on what? What standard are we using to say it's all right? Right? So that's the thing, is we have to see it. where it is. You know, we say, like we said, worship of Shiva. Where does it come in? Right? So he's that feature of Krishna where you're focusing more on the Brahman aspect, the existence of things, the knowledge, you know, the knowledge aspect, you know, in Sankarsana, the knowledge, jnana. But this is the avidya. He's in control of avidya, or therefore the mode of ignorance and the false ego. So we're looking at him as a devotee, and he's doing this to serve Krishna. Then that side, then he can be worshipped along with. We wouldn't make it prominent, but he's there on the side. You know, Shrivas Adi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. You know, but if someone makes it too prominent, then they're getting into what benefits they can get from Lord Shiva, right? Rather than what benefits they can get from serving Krishna in pure devotion. And they happen to be including Lord Shiva as one of the associates of the Lord. Is that okay? Yeah. Anything else? No. But yeah, so sattva alone can liberate a person from material bondage. So those in goodness, they can be liberated. Right? And if you're not, so since you're trying to get yourself as close to Anandamaya as possible, therefore being situated as a sadhaka in the mode of goodness on Vijnanamaya and regulating your life according to the direction that the spiritual master gives, you know, in the first paragraph, that's then what we're trying to, that's why our Vaidhi Bhakti works in that way. The uncivilized state of life, for the life of the lower animals, is controlled by the mode of tamas. The civilized life of man with a passion for various types of material benefits is the stage of rajas. The rajas stage of life gives a slight clue to the realization of the absolute truth in the forms of fine sentiments in philosophy, art, and culture with moral and ethical principles. But the mode of sattva is still higher of material quality, which actually helps one in realizing the absolute truth. In other words, there is a qualitative difference between the different kinds of worshipping methods, as well as the respective results derived from the predominating deities, namely Brahma, Vishnu, and Hara. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.24 purport. So here is that, what we were saying before about this stage of rajas, finer sentiments in philosophy, art, culture, moral, and ethical principles. So we see devotees talk about that more than they do about the Krishna consciousness. So that means it's the mode of passion. So they're taking up the seemingly civilized life of man, but it doesn't actually become truly civilized till you take up varnashram. You know? So if varnashram will support our particular rajasic idea of sentiments and philosophy, art, culture, moral, and ethical principles, we'll accept those aspects. But whoever it doesn't, we'll say we're devotees, we're above these things. We don't care for these things. So the mode of goodness is that, no, these are our duties. These are what I'm supposed to do. So therefore, I do them. That's why I'm doing. I'm not doing this because of the benefits I'll get. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Okay. Jiva Goswami continues. Sattva Tanoho means having sattva shakti. Fire is used in karma. Trayi mayaha. Wood represents tamas. Smoke represents rajas. Fire represents sattva. The activities of, so wood means is tamas. So you have to get through fire. You have to get the fire out of the wood, right? By the proper dealing, you can get fire from wood. Wood is there. It means the fire is there. But you can't perceive it. That's the point, is the material energy being a separated energy. You don't perceive Krishna in it. It just looks like a floor, or it looks like a wall or a table. But actually, how a floor holds up everything and sustains everything, how the wall is also creating that buffer and holding up the roof and that strength that's there, how the table keeps things off the floor, that's all Krishna. The elements are made out of, he is the earth, water, fire, air, ether that they are. He is all these things. He is the time. He is the space. Right? He is that intent. He is everything. But unless we use the mode of goodness or fire, we can't appreciate that. Then only we can see fire and wood. So smoke is better because fire has been applied, but we're still only getting smoke. So I have taken this mode of ignorance, material world. I've added, you know, the principles of, you know, the recommended secondary principles of devotional service using the mode of goodness. From that, then smoke is coming. But if I get distracted by the smoke and think, oh, now the position, the authority, all these different things like that, the enjoyment that can come up with that, you know, all these aspects, then I get distracted. No, you have to keep going and fanning and dealing according to what is the duties till you get fire. Fire now, now I can offer ghee into the fire. And Jatavedas, then that form of Agni will take that offering to Krishna. So that's then its advantage. Yes? No? Yeah? Okay. Smoke has a portion of fire in it and consequently a portion of Vedic action, unlike wood, which has no portion of fire, right? Portion of Vedic action means I have, let's say, a pile of barley. You know, there's no portion of Vedic action, right? But smoke does when I'm performing the ritual or this or that. When I connect it to the Vedic version of how it can be used in action, then you get the smoke. But it only becomes fire when I'm doing this because that's what I'm supposed to do. And that, you know, it's not that I'm trying to gain something from. But if I'm using, I'm doing the yagya because the benefits I'll get, that's a problem. If I'm doing it because it pleases the Lord, pleasing the Lord then will please us. That takes on the mode of goodness and then goes to pure goodness. Right? Rajas is next to sattva, and tamas is not. And rajas has a small portion of realization of the Lord, right? So there is some touch there. So that's why you can get something there. But if you stay on that platform, it only creates trouble because there's always going to be the judgment of happiness and distress. Well, goodness is that this is what we're supposed to do. Just as Vedic actions are directly performed with fire and not with smoke or wood, so the Lord appears in sattva. So as we see is the aspect of what was that? Called the adhoksaja, right? That level of so the vijnana moya, that adhoksaja, then Krishna extends down to there, so that platform of goodness where it doesn't have that passion in it, right? So because the platform of vijnana moya is supposed to be without having the gross material desire. Right, they still have the subtle that I'm God and I'm this and I'm going to be happy and absorbed in Brahman and all that and liberation. So it's still not pure, but it still is that platform of that's the platform the Lord extends down to. And you can see, as that he says, there's a slight aspect of realization of the Lord in passion because you can realize that there is a supreme controller and there are laws of God and all that. And by performing pious works, you get good results. So these aspects will be there. But ultimately, then that's still going to create trouble because you want something from it. So only on the platform of goodness can there be satisfaction. So then the Lord will come down to that platform of manamoy, that you see through knowledge in the scriptures how all these things are the laws of God and you follow them and that will please the Lord. And being Lord being pleased, you'll get what you want. So there's that mix. You're trying to please the Lord, but you're also trying to please yourself. Right? So, and then anything below that, the pranamoy and anamoy platforms, those then are going to take on that mix of ignorance or ignorance and passion. And so those you have to connect up to then the manamoy platform. In other words, dharma is there. So anything that's upadharma or subdharma, that has to be connected to dharma to make it useful. And that dharma is connected to the Lord. Right? Otherwise, then on its own, it's not very favorable because the gap is too much. Right? Because you're working in passion and ignorance and then talking about doing it to please the Lord. But passion ignorance is that the problem is that only the mode of passion has some understanding of the Lord in it. And if you mix that with ignorance, then already the amount of passion is reduced. So that means the amount of possibility of realization of the Lord is reduced. And then you overlay that with the mode of ignorance or avidya, it's going to reduce even more your understanding. It's going to cloud even more. So it's not a favorable position. But if someone's just starting there, then it's fine because they've added the Lord. It will be progressive because the taste will take, they can see the difference because they're living a lifestyle in ignorance. So they go. But if with time and one's more advanced and one takes up that position, one will find it won't be very favorable at all. Yeah. So Jiva Goswami continues. One should perform bhakti properly by giving up devata worship. Bejire munayo tagre bhagavantam adhoksajam satvam vishudham kshemaya kalpante ye nutan iha. Therefore, the ancient sages worship the Supreme Lord beyond the material senses, composed of Vishuddha Sattva. Those who follow the sages attain liberation in this world. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.25. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The purpose of performing a religion is neither to profit by gaining material gain, nor to get the simple knowledge of discerning matter from spirit. The ultimate aim of religious performances is to release oneself from material bondage and regain the life of freedom in the transcendental world, where the personality of Godhead is the supreme person. Laws of religion, therefore, are directly enacted by the personality of Godhead, and except for the Mahajanas, or the authorized agents of the Lord, no one knows the purpose of religion. There are 12 particular agents of the Lord who know the purpose of religion, and all of them render transcendental service unto him. Persons who desire their own good may follow these Mahajanas and thus attain the supreme benefit. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.25 purport. Right? So that's the whole point of religion, is to bring yourself to that platform of being freed from the modes of nature. Right? So Dharma Artha Kama, the only purpose of it is seeing it in that context of the mode of goodness so that one can come to the point of being freed from material entanglement. Right? And in that position, you can take up devotional service. If you only work for freeing yourself, that only brings you up to the level of moksha. So you haven't actually gotten the full benefit. You know, when you come to the point of understanding that I am servant of the Lord and take up that service of the Lord, now that's actual liberation. So that's actually what it's for. Yes, please.
So although it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita that the worship of demigods is in the mood of goodness, it's not necessarily will install us in the mode of goodness. Is that correct?
Yes, because you have the situation and then you have what's your reason for doing something. You also have that because means sudden chit means they're two separate things. They're connected, but they're still two separate things. So someone may be situated in their sadhana in Vijnanamaya, but their purpose of it is anandam, anamoya, or pranamoya, as we see in the contemporary environment. Right? Very few then either situate themselves or have a goal of manamoya. Like you see some of the very pro-Vedic and all that may have that, but it's more rare. And then you have those who are situated in Vijnanamoya because they want liberation. But the actual purpose of us being situated in Vijnanamoya is to attain the stage of Anandamoya. So even if we fall down from that platform, we fall down into that platform of goodness. You know, as Prabhupada mentioned about Bhakti Charu Maharaj, the senior sannyasis were worried about him taking sannyas so quickly after joining and at a younger age. And so Prabhupada said, yes, if he falls down, he'll fall down to the mode of goodness. You know, and Prabhupada was just trying to shut them up because everyone else knew if they fell down, it wasn't going to be goodness. You know, so that's the thing, is it's the safest position, because it's acting, it's action on the platform of goodness, it's action with that regulation for elevation. And that elevation is supposed to be beyond that of sense gratification. And so it gives the best situation of which you may be, you know, you are open to and favorable towards that devotion towards the Lord. So that's the position of the sadhaka. So the devotees as the sadhaka, whatever their background, you know, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, that's where they situate themselves. Then accordingly, they have their duties, you know, that are defined by their religious principles in manamoya or dharma. And then they perform those. So devotees are performing dharma for going from dharma, you know, to give free us from material contamination to get us to pure bhakti. Right? So they're going that way. Dharma, moksha, bhakti. They want to avoid going dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Right? But even if they have to, they're engaging those things. If it's their duties, like grihastha, will have those aspects. But they're still seeing them from the point of, by dealing like this, I will free myself from the contamination of the material nature and move forward. So its consciousness is very important. That's why you see is what's the intent. Even though you're doing something, you're doing a big yajna, but then what's the intent? That will define the modes, that will define where it's actually going to give you the results. Is that okay? Yeah? Okay. Mataji?
Guru Maharaj, nowadays we have a fashion in our society in ISKCON to invite people to the different yagyas, to the devatas. It often appears in different ISKCON groups, sites, that we invite you to improve your bad karma by doing this special yagya to the Navagriha, for example, in the best, holiest place of Vrindavan, something like that. And I usually fight with such posts, and because I think we already came from Abrahamic background, and we should not back and start from Devata worship. But some senior devotees said me that I'm wrong, because for such people who has material desires, they can do mixed yagyas to the god and the demigods, and it will be beneficial for them, and better to do it in ISKCON at least, because some money will go to some ISKCON devotees, and it will be good. And I want to ask you, is it correct?
Which one? What you said, or senior devotees said?
Who is right?
Who is correct? Am I correct, or are they correct? The whole point is you have also, I think it's in second chapter in the first canto, that you have that point where it mentions about worship of the Lord, bhukti mukti siddhi kami. Means whatever it is that you want, an intelligent person worships the Lord. Why you would? Because here it says worship of the demigods is condemned. Better, why don't? Because the point is they worship that mixed with the demigod, but the demigod has to ask Krishna anyway, and we have the opportunity. We're initiated into a line that we can directly deal with Krishna. So why would we deal with Krishna? Why would we go to his, you know, to the demigods? So you want to do this for because you want to remove the bad karma, but the whole point is they say bad karma, but if you're worshiping the demigod, is it for worshiping, getting rid of bad karma, or is it for getting good karma? So it's said that those who are foolish, then they worship the demigods because they think the result will be quicker. Why don't they just worship Krishna? Krishna is the one who controls all these things. Krishna's in your heart. He sees this, not the demigod. The demigod only knows you're worshiping him because Krishna, you know, arranges it that way. But Krishna's in your heart. He knows. So therefore, you can say, yes, it's this, that. But why not preach pure devotional service? Otherwise, why come to ISKCON? You know, you think our ISKCON, our yajna is going to be better than these Karmakanda wallas? You know? So therefore, then what are they talking about? Oh, better it's this and that. Well, then why not, they become all kinds of other nonsense. You know? The kind of point is why it's Krishna who is the potency. Krishna is what the benefits that the Devata. The Devata's potency to be is there. That's what we were seeing in Chandogya Upanishad. That's quoted in Vedanta Sutra, where Indra is somebody is asking about the absolute truth, how to worship the absolute truth. So Indra is making his point. You have to worship Indra. And his point was, it's not Indra, the demigod. It's Indra who is the potency that makes that jiva who takes up the post Indra. So in other words, you have to worship Vishnu, the absolute truth. So that's the Upanishad. So we're being given that. Why go back? And then, okay, fun. Yeah, fine. You want to get into all these things. So are you following Varnashram perfectly? Because if you're not, then you're not even human. So therefore, then what's the point? So you want to do a demigod thing, but you're not even human. How much benefit you're going to get? You know, are you there? See, the point is when you get into demigods, it's more strict. If they're not there, perfectly bathed, brand new clothes, unstitched clothes, sitting there on the kusa mat, you know, fasting, you know, all these different things, they're not going to get any benefit from that demigod. I mean, the amount they're going to get is zero on a good day. You're worshiping Krishna, then you do the best you can. So we say, oh, we're devotees, it doesn't matter, you know, we're doing the best we can. That's only if you're worshiping Krishna. You worship demigods, they don't buy that. Demigods do not buy that, oh, I couldn't, their point is don't do it. You don't walk into the, you know, the Rolls Royce showroom and not have the money to buy the car. That's the way they are. He says, you want this material benefit, you come with the material qualifications. So all those strict rules, that's for anything less than Vishnu worship. And if you can do it, naturally you wouldn't do that for the Lord. But if not, then this the devotion that's the main. But with the demigods, it's not the devotion is the main. You can have all the devotion you want, but if you didn't do the yajna perfectly, as Prabhupada mentions, you're doing these big yajnas. One mantra is wrong. One syllable in one mantra is wrong. The whole yajna is finished. You don't get the benefit. It's like that. So why would they even bother? Who are they? Who do they even think they are that they can even do these things? Prabhupada says that in this age, we're the Brahmins to do these things. We can be Brahmins to do stuff for pleasing Krishna, but to do stuff for pleasing the demigods, where's the question? Are the people doing it born in practicing Brahmin families who they know all these things since they're young, that's the lifestyle they follow, everything they, those Brahmins, when they are not worshiping, doing this yajna, what are they wearing? Are they wearing, you know, shoes that you have to use your hands to put on? Did they wash their feet every time that they do this and that? And are they wearing unstitched clothes? If they are, then you can say, okay, maybe they can talk about it. But then is the people that are doing the worship, are they qualified? But if not, then it's just a joke. All it is they're saying, come to Vrindavan like that. They're in Vrindavan, come here. And, you know, you'll get some material benefit and I'll make money. So worship the demigods, we don't do it. We worship the Lord. You have a problem with the planets, we worship the Lord. You have a problem with money, we worship the Lord. You have the problem with anything in your life, we worship the Lord. We don't worship the demigods. That's the whole thing. Jiva, Gopal Bhatta Goswami's introduction to Satkriya Sardipika. Spend 70 pages explaining this point. We do not have to worship the demigods. So this is all just being added in. And how is the senior devotees? How did the GBC allow this? And at the same time as, oh, you know, through the mode of passion and, you know, oh, our sentiments of, you know, morality and ethics and culture and this and that, it's all bogus. It's not even the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness is that you're doing this to please Krishna because it's your duty. Here it says you want something, and that's the most mode of passion. So yes, it's civilized, they're following, but are they following the rules of that? Are they using Krishna worship and then throwing in the demigod on the side? How did that work out for Vishwarup? That's what he was doing. Indra cut off his head because he was cheating. So the thing is you can do all these things. People want their material benefits, but Bhagavatam says, worship Krishna. Who gives the money? Lakshmi. Who's Lakshmi connected to? Lord Vishnu. So worship Krishna and worship Lakshmi. Then you get your money. Your household life will go nicely. You want these things? That's what you do. Why do you think whenever we're doing these samskars and that and the grihasthas and that, we always throw in Lakshmi Shukta? It's for that purpose. At the school, when we're doing for the boys and I, we just do Purusha Shukta. To worship the deity, you only need that. But when we're doing these things, you do. So we throw those in. Samskar, the whole thing is for the grass. So therefore, yes, throw it in. They're worshiping, Krishna and Lakshmi. And, so why, if they're pleased, why things won't go nicely for them? So that's the whole point, is we don't need to. And that's what the GBC is for. They're supposed to stop this kind of deviation. But instead they encourage it. And then what they're not supposed to, that what they get into, like we said before, the professional, the this, the that, following the topmost glorious administrative position in the universe, that of the, American government, like that, so perfectly, perfectly designed, by George Washington, like that. And they don't even understand how it works and what's the problems with it. And so this is nonsense. GBCs are supposed to see that. No. We're pure devotional service is all we're interested in. And if on the religious platform you have to deal with other things, yes, okay, but deal with it in connection to Krishna. As soon as you get into demigods, who the hell is qualified to worship demigods? Go ahead, name me. Are they born in a proper Brahmin family? And if they're not, there's no goddamn way they're qualified to do this worship. End of discussion. They make one syllable wrong in the whole thing. It's finished. I'm not joking here. That's why it says that if you're doing something like this, and it's like a stone boat, means that priest, he will sink, and the people who are going to it, they will sink. They'll all sink. And the only thing that keeps them from sinking is because they are worshiping Krishna on the side. Okay, looks like time is up. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.